أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. We are fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq, the ability to submit and surrender to Him, to praise and glorify Him, to truly fulfill the purpose of our creation, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow in the footsteps of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Over the last few days, we've been discussing the importance of hubb, the importance of love, and not just loving the creation or something which has been created, but rather loving the Creator, which is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We discussed in the hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam that if you want to taste the sweetness of your iman, and if you want to taste the sweetness of your faith, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam must be the most beloved things to you in your entirety. You must love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam more than anything and anyone else. Only and only then will you be able to truly taste the sweetness of iman and taste the sweetness of prayer. And then we discussed how people generally fall in love with someone or something first and foremost due to its external beauty, due to the beauty of a thing. And we discussed how if we look around us, if we look in the faces of others, in our wives, our children, women, in other men, and generally if you look around society, we see people that we gravitate towards, that we lean towards due to their external beauty. If you look at the world that we live in, and the mountains and the streams and the beauty and the wonders of the world, we always gravitate towards the beauty of the world. And if you look at the heavens, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the heavens, from the first heaven all the way to the highest of the heavens, how the rivers flow in the heavens, how the trees are there, the palm trees and the houses, how the palaces are made and the fruit that will be there, and the hur and ayn, the angels that will be there, and all of these things in Jannah. It's all about beauty upon beauty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is surrounding us in our life with beauty. But all of this should actually direct us towards the most beautiful, which is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Jameel. Allah azza wa jal, Inna Allah Jameel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most beautiful. And He loves beauty. So He wants us to love Him. And we need to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, we love people due to their external beauty. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He directs His face, His wajh, His face. And this is the place of beauty in a person's face. You don't love somebody for their muscles. Well, some people may do, but you generally love people for their muscles or their arms or their feet or the other things. You love them for their actual face. This is what you love, you fall in love with. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He directs His face towards His servant in salah who is praying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly looking at you in your salah. He wants you to know that He is focused on you. Do you know when somebody that you love, when they just look at you, you blush because they are looking at me directly, intently, with love, with devotion, with sincerity, with ikhlas, and you just kind of feel in a different way because they are looking at you. And this is the same kayfiyah that we should have, and we should realize that when we are praying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs His face, His beautiful face, towards the face of His servant who is praying. As long as that servant does not turn away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not turn His face away. So this is a great gift to us. And we should always be ready to turn our face, turn our entirety, turn our body, our soul, our heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can encompass ourselves in the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah will not turn away, not turn His face away. It's us. We are the ones. We don't even look up. We don't even look forward. We don't even look into the beauty and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So naturally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also turns away. And the dua that I mentioned yesterday of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma inni as'aluka ash-shawqa ila liqa'ik. That, oh Allah, I ask you for the longing and the desire and the yearning to meet you. And this is something that we need to have. You have this feeling when you love somebody, you have this longing, this desire, this yearning to be with those people because of their beauty. And we should be always in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the beauty of Allah azza wa jalla. I'm just going to turn this down. Okay, hopefully that will help. So falling in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an important and integral part of our salah. And you fall in love with Allah's beauty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's majesty. Another reason why we fall in love with other people is due to their character, is due to their behavior and how they make you feel. If somebody, they can be as beautiful as any, you know, one of the beautiful people in the world, but when you approach them, when you speak to them, and when you communicate with them, if they are harsh, if they are very rude and abrupt and very, very cold and callous in their character, in the way that they treat you, then no matter how beautiful they are, you will not want to be with that particular individual. No matter how good a vehicle is, if it's not well run, and it's not well maintained, and if it's not reliable, you're not going to drive that car again and again, because you know you're paying for, you know, fixing it all the time. So beauty, falling in love, is not just about beauty, but also about the character. And you know a person's character when you deal with them, do you not? When you utna, bertna, when you do financial transactions with them, when you dine with them, when you travel with them, this is when you truly find out about the character. Versus that we all come and we do assalamu alaikum, we shake our hands, and then we think, oh yeah, these are the best people in the world, and we should be the best people in the world. But then as soon as we're out of those doors, then we change, we're different people. Then you say, did you see how he was praying today? Did you see how late he turned up? Did you see what he was wearing? Did you see this, that? Then we end up backbiting and gossiping and slandering and do all of these things. This is not beauty of character. So you find out the true character of an individual, as the Messenger والسلام, and Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab mentioned, that when you travel with them, you find out their true character. When you do financial transactions with them, then you find out their true character. And then when you dine with them, you find out their true character. Because in all of these circumstances and scenarios, a person's reality always comes out, and you find out what they're actually like. So we always look to those people and we lean towards those people who treat us well, do we not? If I was constantly shouting at you on the khutbah, shouting and screaming at you here, you wouldn't be coming here again and again. We can't do anything about our parents because they are our parents, inevitably. But the point is, other people where we do have a choice and an option with our friends, our school, our colleagues, etc. If you don't like somebody, you naturally just say, well, I don't want anything to do with that person because the way that they behave and the way that they treat me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the best of characters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the best of sifat and the best of names and attributes and qualities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats us better than any other in creation. He treats us far better than our parents. If you just look at the names and the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I just want you to reflect on some of these. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Haleem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Latif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Khaliq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Mujib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Afu, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Ra'uf, Al-Hadi, Al-Sabur. All of these are the beautiful names and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do they mean? That it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the most forbearing. Do you know, even your parents will only take a certain amount of crap from you, literally. They let you off, chalo theeka, bachcha, and then one day you'll get a good smack as well. You're not a bachcha anymore, they'll say. So there's always a limitation even to the love and affection of our own people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so forbearing that He knows and He sees all of the sins that we do. And He knows the things that we have done before we come to every single prayer. But in spite of that, He still continues to forgive and forgive and forgive and remain patient and continues to be forbearing Mira banda, chalo, you know, he'll change in this, after this salah. He'll change after this salah and this salah and this salah. He'll change this year and next year. And continue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of us and our character, our own failings and our behavior, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's doors of mercy are still always open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's doors of forgiveness are always open. Ki mera banda, even till his last moment, I will still give him that opportunity to do tawbah and to do istighfar. This is how haleem Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. This is how forbearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Look at how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to us. Previous nations, when they even used to think of an evil thought, it used to be written down for them that this person has thought a bad thought, an evil thought, and it is recorded for them in their book of deeds, even though they haven't done it. When it came to the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, if you think an evil thought, it will not be recorded against you. It will not be placed in your book of deeds. And if you don't act on it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will actually give you a reward. Will give you an ajr, a sawab, for not acting on that bad thought. And if you do end up acting on that bad thought, you'll only get one sin, one guna. This is how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, especially to the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at how he gives us Laylatul Qadr, khayrun min alfi shahr. He doesn't have to give it, but he gives it to us. Look at how he has given us Ramadan, how he gives us Muharram, how he gives us Hajj, how he gives us Mi'raj, how he gives us all of these opportunities from Jum'ah to Jum'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from one Jum'ah to the next Jum'ah, he forgives all of your sins. From one Salah to the next Salah, he forgives all of your sins. You can do all of the sins in the world, equivalent to the foam of the sea, the highest of the mountains, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is far more reaching. And he's still more merciful towards you, and he will still forgive you in spite of your shortcomings and your failings again and again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous. Do you know, when you stop doing the work that you're supposed to do at work, even your bosses, they'll give you one verbal warning, and then a written warning, then another warning, and then say, chalo bhai nikal. They're not that generous that they'll still continue to pay you even though you don't come and do the work. Even your own parents and your teachers, they'll give you extensions to a certain degree, and then they'll say, that's it, you know, you're either out or you failed or you're rusticated, etc. They'll give you ultimatums. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at how generous he is. He's given us hands, limbs, eyes, nose, health, body, all of these things, and he continues to give us provisions and sustenance in spite of our failings. He's still generous. He still gives us the ability, he still feeds us and provides for us and protects us. Is this not generosity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whereas other people will say, wait a minute, I'm not going to give it to you anymore. Look at ourselves, that when we give some money to a certain person, if they don't treat us or not appreciative enough, we stop giving them help and money and our assistance. And even with zakat or any sadaqah that we give, that if we realize this person is slightly dodgy, we stop it straight away. How dodgy are we? How bad are our accounts? How bad are our deeds? But in spite of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to show his generosity to us and continues to feed us and to provide for us. Does this not show the grandeur and the great character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards us, even though he doesn't need to be like this? He could be, do this, don't do this, that's it, you're done for. But he doesn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most loving with his slave. He is the most compassionate towards his ibad, towards the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who continuously guides us in our life. Whether you are a Muslim or a non-Muslim, there's always guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way or form. It is that guidance that keeps you aright. It is that guidance that keeps you on your particular path. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the most kind to you, the most generous to you. Imagine you find all of these qualities in a human being. You find this in a potential spouse. You find this in your children. You'll say, wow, my son is so generous. Itna sakhiha, itna kareema, he's so forgiving, he's so merciful, he Allah the guy, and he's so forgiving, and he just forgives and forgets everything. We talk about these very, very great qualities in certain individuals, whether it's our parents or some people that we know, or scholars that we know. We highlight these, like these are amazing things, and we fall in love with those people due to their character. So how is it that you cannot fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to his beauty? How you cannot fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to his character that he continuously showers upon you and shows you again and again?
Look in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say to you again and again, oh you sinners, oh bidharto, oh besharmo, oh zalimo, oh, all of these things. Does Allah say that in the Quran to us? No. Again and again, ya ayyuhal lazina amanu, eh iman walo, eh mere bando, oh my people, oh people of faith, oh people who have believed, oh my servants and my slaves, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. My servants, say to my servants and my slaves, say to my people who believe in me, yes, they have transgressed themselves by sinning. In spite of that, do not despair and never despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. And indeed, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the most merciful and the most forgiving. How is it that after we see all of these beautiful characteristics, the character coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He addresses us, how He speaks to us, how kindly, how generously, how mercifully He speaks to us, how forbearing He is and forgiving He is and overlooking He is. Because you know that Allah's pakad is very strong. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to seize you, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to seize other people, and you've seen history, you've seen Fir'aun, you've seen other nations, you've seen societies, how entire nations and communities were destroyed when their time was up, then Allah said, that's it. And that could come for us at any moment in time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of our iman, because of our nisbah and our connection and our love for the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and our tuta buta love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah still says, oh my servants, oh my believers, oh my followers, do this and do this and do that. I'll give you this opportunity and this and this and this and this and this. So how can you not fall in love with the character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you not envisage these things when you are standing in your salah and imagine the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imagine the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed towards you. Imagine the generosity and the kindness and the forbearing and the forgiveness. All of these things when you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say these things. We say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. We say these things, but do you feel them? That's the difference. Do you feel them? Because when you see the character in people, you always go towards their people. You just want to sit with them and be with them. Why is it that you don't want to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He gives you so much? He has blessed us with your eyes. He has blessed us with your nose and your tongues and your bodies. And we abuse all of these things on a daily basis. Especially before coming salah, swiping TikTok and Instagram and all of these other things, or what we hear and what we do and what we say with our tongues. We abuse all of these things on a daily basis. Every hour or so we are abusing these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of that, He doesn't punish us. He is the forbearing. And He continuously gives us a chance for tawbah again and again. And when we do tawbah, when we do istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only accepts it, but He also forgives us and erases those sins as well. Remember the things that we've talked about, how wudu takes away all of your sins from your hand and the things that you did with your hand, the things that you smelt with your nose and your eyes and things that you did with your face and your arms and your feet, how the sins even come from under your fingernails. Is this not the great character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then what is it, and why is it that we still do not fall in love with the character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we very easily fall in love with the character of other people? Think of the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats you. And you can see it in the Quran, you can see it in the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. How many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. But what we do, how do we treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What kind of quality time do we spend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much love and affection we show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before our salah, during our salah, and how honored we are to be standing in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how appreciative we are of the great grandeur and the character coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. So as I mentioned, we fall in love with people due to their beauty. We also fall in love with people due to their character. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beauty is limitless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's character is also limitless as well. And look at how He has treated you thus far. and how He has given you beauty in your life and surrounded you by beauty, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to treat you in spite of your failings and your shortcomings. So why is it that when you're in your salah, you don't appreciate those things and you don't look before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is your muhsin, who has an ihsan upon you in so many ways, and appreciate this greatness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? Sayyidina Ibn al-Qayyim Jawzi, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shy of His servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to be shy of anybody. He is Qahhar, He is Ghaffar, He is Allah, He is Rabb. He goes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shy of His servants, yet His servants do not feel ashamed in front of Him. This is a very powerful statement to make. You know, how ashamed are we when we truly stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing what we know, knowing the things that we do, knowing the majesty and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you felt that shame, you would really transform yourself and change yourself. And you'd really make your salah much more meaningful and sincere in when you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us prophets. It's an opportunity. Allah ta'ala didn't have to send a prophet, did He? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created all of you, could have created the dunya and just left us here and leave us to figure it out. That there is a creator, a designer, a fashioner, a person in control. He could have done that. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to His love for His ibad, for His servants and slaves, He sends prophets and messengers to guide us back to the beauty, back to the majesty, back to the character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't need to do this. But this is the character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah azza wa jal, we know this in Sahih Ahadith, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to the lowest heaven during the last third of the night. Does He not do that? You've heard this hadith many, many times, especially during Laylatul Qadr, especially, you know, Nisf al-Sha'ban and various other nights throughout the year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lowers, comes down to the lowest of the heavens during the third part of the night to ask us if we need anything. He doesn't need to do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeks us to see whether we need anything and to repent. And if we do repent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to forgive us. All of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, should that not make you fall in love more and more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala doesn't need to do these things, but He does it. And we should feel ashamed, but rather we don't have that shame when we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We readily ignore all of these beautiful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. So if you truly know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the meaning that you understand His names, you understand His asma and sifat and His attributes and qualities, you understand what He has given us in terms of the Qur'an, the hidayah, the deen and the messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and then you can only do one thing, which is fall in submission, fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to His majesty, fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to His jamal, and fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to His kamal, due to His jalal, and due to the character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He hears your du'as, when He listens to your du'as, and when He answers your du'a? And He gives you that what you need, or He gives you something far better than what you need and asked for, or He reserves that dua so that He can answer it for you and grant it to you on the day of Qiyamah when you will need it most. How can you not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He forgives you again and again, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala veils your faults? Imagine every time you did a sin, that sin was written on your forehead. All the angels on your right and your left, wherever you walked around, they would tell the people around them, oh, He's done this now, and He's just done this now, or He's just done this now. Everybody would run away from us. Nobody would be your friend, whether it's a scholar or an imam, whoever you may be, everybody would run away from each other. But it is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He veils you and your faults, and He gives you that opportunity to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do tawbah and istighfar. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is more merciful to us than our very mother. Allah azza wa jal, one of the names that we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabb. And to understand Rabb is very important. Why? Because Rabb comes from to do the nurturing of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the time that we are born, every single stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtures us. nurtures us through every single stage, and He gives us all of those things that we need in every single stage, spiritually, emotionally, physically. All of those things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly nurturing us through all of the stages in life. He is our Rabb. He is our Lord with us on every single stage in our life. He never disowns us. He never discards us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there for us, but we are never there for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He takes care of us every single day, every single moment. And if it wasn't for the oversight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards you, we wouldn't exist. The entire universe wouldn't exist. Everything would cease to exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does so much ihsan upon us, has done so by creating us, has done so by giving us life, by sending us here into the dunya, by continue to provide for us and nurture us and protect us. All of this is ihsan. And how can you not fall in love with a person who's done so much ihsan upon you? You love your mother, you love your father due to their sacrifices, due to their ihsan, due to their generosity, due to the love and mercy that they have given you all your life. Imagine your mother never protected you, never gave you clothes or food or water. Would you be sitting here today? Would you even be able to talk and have the faculty of speaking and doing all of these things? This is all the ihsanat of our parents. What about the ihsanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. That the reward for good is nothing else but good. Ihsan is nothing else but ihsan. So the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done ihsan to you and created you in the best of manners, in the best of ways, we need to also stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of manners, with the best of intentions, with the best of wudu, with the best of clothing, with the best of haya, with the best of modesty, with the best of haybah, with the best of khushu, with the best of love in our heart, with the best of everything. Nobody else deserves the best except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He is our creator, He is our Rabb, He is our provider, our nourisher, our protector, our guide. He is everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves the best to you. When you give a gift to somebody, you make sure all of the edges are folded really, really nicely and neatly. You make sure it's all sealed up properly, and you have the best of presentations when you give it to that individual, and you give the best of gifts to that individual. Why do we not give the best of our salah, the best presentation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of hearts, the best of tears, the best of concentrations and focus and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When He is just there waiting for us. You make an appointment with a king or a VIP or a prime minister or anybody else, you have to make an application and then you have to follow it up. And then if you do get through, and then you go and you have to wait in line, and then you finally meet that person, then you have to grovel and ask them and beg them and do so many lammi chori ka hani. You know, from the beginning, this has happened to me and this has happened to me, and then now please do something about it. Is it? Lammi chori ka hani. Theek hai na? Unless, you know, you do some rishwat and you know the right people, then obviously you do a shortcut. But the point is, in dunya, you have to go through all of these stages if to make an appointment, to sit down with those people, to make an appeal, and then you have to hope that person will listen to you, not just be dismissive. You have to hope that that person will value you. You have to hope that that person will not discriminate against you and distinguish between a male or a female, or your culture, or your heritage, or your wealth, all of these things. You have to hope a lot of things before you get what you want from that particular person. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only needs you to submit, only needs you just to stand in His court, to stand and say, Allah, here I am, and say, Allahu Akbar. This is what all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs. So how is it still not possible, you know, that we still can't stand up truly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and truly say the takbir for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah, you are the greatest. You are the most magnificent. You are the most beautiful. You are the most kind. And here I am, Allah, to beg, to surrender, to submit. How can you still not just stand simply before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you know He's there ready to listen to you, ready to comfort you and to heal you and to guide you and to give you exactly what you want and what you need, what is necessary for you? This is the character, the beauty, the jamal and the jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we often don't even consider when we're coming to our prayers. And this is why we don't taste the sweetness in our prayer. This is why salah is not meaningful. This is why we don't get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, Khul Aziz, tomorrow we will finish off the final part of why we fall in love The first one was beauty, second one was due to character, and third one, inshallah, al-Aziz, we'll do tomorrow. But today, as I promised, inshallah, we'll do a practical demonstration of the salah. So inshallah, we'll conclude this now. And I'll just request a few more minutes of you, and then we'll stand up and we'll do a practice run of our salah. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khairan.